And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a wowzer bowser? Wednesday, because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, we spend some time covering another classic message that brings us down to the foundations of our faith. We mostly understand the gospel, although we tend to forget how powerful grace is and that the forgiveness that comes through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ is everlasting. We do seem to fall short quite a bit in the connectivity department. Staying connected to the Lord is a significant issue for a majority of Christians. So next, it may surprise you to find out that one of the best ways to stay connected to the Lord is to shut up. Isn't that rude? I know it's rude, and I'm not trying to be rude. I'm trying to say that there are so many winds and noises and voices, including our own. They dilute, distract, detour, and distance us away from what the Lord has to say. None of those are very important. What God has to say is important. Everybody else's insight and input, including our own, is just interesting and entertaining. And finally, we focus on a couple of approaches to help us understand how we can hear Jesus. Now, it's true that sometimes the Lord speaks abruptly into our lives, and then there's no way to miss him, that it's him communicating. Ask Saul, who we just mentioned in a trivia question. That is him pursuing us because he loves us. But reciprocation of that love is us pursuing him. Did you hear that? The reciprocation of the love that God has for us is us pursuing him. And sometimes we fail to be active in the listening part of things. Hearing is receiving sound decimals. Listening is making sense of those sound decimals. Guess what we need to do? We need to listen more.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving. That's good. Living. That's a little better. And prevailing. Well, that's fantastic. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Don't forget politics. Poly is many. Ticks, blood-sucking insects. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, checking it out. Yep, it works, @hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Talking at Dynamite D is like when your GPS is wrong and you get there 10 minutes earlier than projected.
Oh, wow, Dave.
Praise God. That's a great one, right?
That
you're
is
like,
a great
going,
one.
Oh, we're here earlier.
Right.
Hey, I just tell you this one thing. If you're going to go from here to fate, watch the GPS.
Pretty much, because that's a drive.
Yeah,
it's a drive.
It's a drive. But watch the GPS. Not always right.
Hey, exit here.
There is no exit there. Okay, never mind. Anyhow, going back to this, if you've got a praise report or a prayer request, reach out to us. We'll be glad to talk to you. We'll be glad to pray for you. If you got something going on you want to share that the Lord has done for you, let me just ask this question straight out. Has the Lord done something awesome for you? then tell people about it. And you don't even have to tell it brilliantly. We tell you this all the time. You just share it. The rest of it will come out. The Lord will take care of it. You just share, and the Lord will bless people with it. That's how it goes, because he's the one that makes it into something. You can have that opportunity to pray for something that's going on in your life, that we're all gathering together, offering our prayer, taking our faith, and lifting up to God. He loves our prayers. Our prayers are like incense before his throne. It's like, that's so cool, right? He loves that. So let's pray. Let's ask him. Let's ask for his help. He loves to be pursued. That's what this entire message is going to be about, just so you can know. And he loves us just engaging with one another and fellowshipping with one another and loving one another and caring about one another. You understand that? That's a big part of it. Okay, here we go. We're going to do these trivia questions. I'm not going to pull them back, even though they're a little harder, because you got to have all of it. You got to have the easy. And although I notice nobody's calling in and saying these are easy. Here you go. In what chapter of Acts was the Holy Spirit poured out initially? In what chapter of Acts was the Holy Spirit poured out initially? That's a straightforward question. If you think you know the answer, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we're talking about the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What chapter in the book of Acts is that? And that is, again, something people should know. That's very, very, very important, because that is the continuation of the ministry of Jesus Christ through us. So we should know that as well. Reach out to us if you think you know. Don't forget to be praying for one another. Don't forget also, we've got some new stuff on the website. If you've got an ambassador kind of mindset, go to the website, look at the ambassador video. We give bumper stickers, business cards, and brochures away. No charge, no requirement, no restrictions. No, you got to do this with it or this with it. You do with it as the Lord leadeth thee. That's good. Nice King James right there. And so bottom line to that is, if you want to be an ambassador, you take a brochure, put it in your car, put it with you wherever you're going, and then somebody comes along and you think, ooh, that person would like that, then you would just give it to them and say, hey, I thought you might like this. You know, I'm sorry there's not a free dinner attached to every one of them, but there's not. So
Now I'm hungry, Dave.
Yeah, we're just going to go from there. All right, now I prayed about multiple times, just so you can know, like six times, about this particular message, and I just got that, you know, thing from the Lord saying, do this, do this. I mean, I actually tried to get out of it, and you'd think that's a joke. That's like, that's not a joke. It's like, I want to teach this. And it's like, nope. So we're going to do this one, and that's the one we're going to do. And here's the very beginning of it, and I want you to follow me with it, and I want you to understand it as best as I can understand it. Psalm 46, verse 10. Psalm 46, verse 10, another major significant portion in the framework of Scripture, okay? Psalm 46, 10. I'm going to use another scripture with this in a minute, but I want you to hear this one first. It says this. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted in the earth. In our mindsets, we always function, I don't want to say always function, we often function in this mindset that says we need to do something with this in order for something to happen that's momentous or miraculous. When Jesus fed the 5,000, the only miracle that's in all four of the Gospels that's a creative miracle, he told everybody who was going to receive the food to do what? He told everybody to do what? He told everybody to sit down. It's the hardest thing. It's just like, especially if you're a type A personality. I don't know what that's like. But if you're a type A personality, sit there. Sit down. And in this text in 46:10, it's like, sit there. Be quiet. Just be quiet. And sometimes, as difficult as that seems, we just need to be quiet. and listen. And so what we think of as prayer is we think if we get before the Lord and we tell him, and we often talk about this, our laundry list or our things, and you think, no, that's what has to happen. It's like, no, that's what our personality tells us has to happen, or that's what society tells us to happen. God's sitting there going, you know, you can just sit there and be quiet. And I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again, that Noelle and I will be in the room. We won't be directly talking to one another, but we know that we're near each other, and that's a part of the connection. And so Scripture commands us to sometimes stop. Deuteronomy 4:1 says, "Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so you may live and go and take possession of the land the Lord your God ancestors is giving you." But the key in that is hear the laws I'm giving you. Hear, 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 hear. I mean, you got to listen to what the Lord's saying. You got to stop. He is not a part of your schedule that you need to get these. You know, everybody has a what? Things to do list. Or there's the honey do list. Or whatever it might be. Hey, you know what? God is not a chore. God is not a part of your schedule that has to be fulfilled for you to find complete. You need to spend time with God because he created you. We talked about this exactly last Wednesday when we talked about the sin of prayerlessness. It's the same thing. It's just the next step. And sometimes when you come before the Lord, you don't have to say anything. You think, well, I don't know what's getting done. How about you are just submitting and surrendering to God by not talking? Did you know that when you get before the Lord and you say nothing and you just sit there before the Lord, you're being, get ready, surrendered. Want to hear something interesting? James 4:7 says, "Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee." Sometimes the best thing in the world you can do is get before the Lord, say nothing, be surrendered before him, be quiet. But Dave, my mind races. That's what happens to me, by the way, in case you're trying to figure out if I'm calling anybody out on this. My mind races. And then you know what I tell myself? I tell myself, stop racing. I tell myself that. Stop racing. Stop thinking about the things outside of this. Lord, I want to be submitted to you. And if you don't know what like meditation is, whatever, it's kind of like a exercise of the mind. Meditation is like a mental exercise. And so you can just say before the Lord, I'm here before you. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here before you. I'm here. I'm here. You think that's weird? It's not. Try it. I'm not trying to tell you to do something bizarre. I'm trying to get you to get past what the enemy's trying to do by throwing 10,000 distractions. Oh, but I've got to take care of this. And oh, I've got this bill. And oh, I've got this. And don't forget, you got to call this person. And don't forget, I got to put this in the laundry machine. And don't forget, you got to do this in the yard. And don't forget this for work. And oh my goodness, I forgot to cross my T's and dot my I's. You see what's happening there? You see what's going on there? That's what the enemy does. Sometimes, before the great miracles of God come about, like the most powerful miracles, you just sit down. It's like, wow. Now, I'm really guilty of this, probably more than you guys. Okay, just be honest. But I know it goes on because I go through it every day.
But, Dave, it's not just you. I think it's a discipline because it's so easy to pray and just rattle off things that first thing come to your mind or in your spirit. But that, what you just said, takes a little bit of discipline.
It takes you to another level. And I'm not saying that everybody's going to do this, but it's called, we're called to it. And this is the part that's really tough for us. It's like, but it's like I do nothing. Yes, you exist with your creator. Do you think when you get to heaven? Like, look, you think I'm going to get to heaven? I'm going to have a radio show? Probably not. Okay. You know, I mean, I'm just saying.
David Spoon winged
over
there.
Yeah, that's not probably going to happen. There's going to be a lot of not talking. Right? I mean, there'll be a lot of worshiping. And you can worship without talking, by the way. You can just acknowledge the Lord in your heart. It's how great he is. You just don't have to give him your list or cut through the whatever thing you're trying to cut through there. I suspect that when Jesus spent lots of time in prayer, there wasn't always lots of things said. since he was the one who taught that that was not the way to do it. Well, I got to answer the trivia question. The trivia question, by the way, in what chapter of Acts is the Holy Spirit poured out initially? Come on, you guys, you need to know this. Acts chapter 2. After the ascension of Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1, the Holy Spirit comes out in Acts chapter 2. You got to know this stuff. That's an important one to know. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
You may be from a Baptist background, a Pentecostal background, a non-denominational background. David Spoon has that too. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, then give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Can I blow your mind? You know, I did this with you before, but on a different text. I love this text. You will love this text because you and I are sci-fi people. You'll love this. This is one of those, oh, goodness gracious, that's so good. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. 1 Samuel 23:10-12. Okay. 1 Samuel 23:10-12 says this. Then David said, O Lord God of Israel, your servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as your servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell your servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then David said, will the men surrender me and my men to the hand of Saul? And the Lord said, they will surrender you. I love this portion because people, we think in these boxes and we force God into our theology and say he must conform here, which is just insanity by itself. Here's a situation where David hears that Saul is coming down to try and get him, and he's asking, will the people of the city surrender me? I've helped them. I've defended them. I've given them some deliverance. Is Saul going to come in and change their mind, and they're going to give me up? And the Lord says, yeah, that's going to happen. Now, if you read the rest of the passage in 1 Samuel 23, David leaves. So he is not surrendered to Saul by the men of the city. But what I want you to catch is this. God knew what the outcome was going to be if David stayed and what the outcome was going to be if David left. In other words, God knew the alternate universe or the alternate pathway that was taking place. We've talked about this before. It's one of those cool thoughts where we don't think of it in these terms. But remember, David says to God, hey, are they going to give me up? And the Lord's like, yeah, they're going to give you up. That's what's going to happen. So you need to make a decision and go a different direction so we can have a different outcome. And it's like God knew what the outcome was if they gave him up, and God knew what the outcome was if he left. God knew what it would be if he went left or right, if we went west, east, north, or south. God knew what the outcome was going to be no matter what, because God is omniscient. He knows all things, which means he knows every alternate route. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. I don't want you guys to think I'm mad at you about the trivia. So I just think those are really important things. Like the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, that's really important. But nonetheless, we will persevere. I don't want people to get that wrong impression. Here you go. Here's your next trivia question. True or false? 50-50 on this one. Okay? Now, you already know, we've talked about this last week, that there are 5 books in poetry, right? Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. True or false? Solomon wrote 3 of the 5 Old Testament poetry books. True or false? There you go. That's another good question. Okay, if you think you know the answer, let's see. So he wrote 3. Solomon wrote 3 of the 5 poetry books. True or false? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Okay? All right. I got three very fast jokes. Okay? How fast? Pretty fast. Okay? All right. The first one is not a great one. The second one is okay. The last one is brilliant. Okay, we're running into a lot of these lately. Here's your first one. Are you ready? Here we go. Chicken to the turkey. Only Thanksgiving and Christmas? This is what a chicken says to a turkey. Only Thanksgiving and Christmas? You're lucky, because with us, it's any Sunday there is. Okay, that's all right. This is a pretty good one. Have you heard about the dog that ate an onion? Did you hear about the dog that ate an onion? Its bark was much worse than its bite.
Say what?
Okay, now here's the last one. Aunt Deb will like this the most. Here we go. When you call a dog, he usually comes to you. When you call a cat, he takes a message. That's a good one. That's a good play. You saved it with that play. That was really good. Good job, brother. That's funny that you call a dog, he comes, you call a cat, it's like, take a message.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's how that goes. Okay. Let's see where we're at here. We are doing a trivia question. True or false, Solomon wrote three of the five Old Testament books. So it's Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. So true or false, that's the question that I'm asking. Okay, all right. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we just got done talking about being silent, okay? So now what I'm going to do, I'm doing it on purpose, is shift, because I want you to understand, look, there's this process where we need to know what God has to say. So it's really tough to know what God has to say if we're always talking. When Noelle and I have a conversation, I actually have to restrain myself. I'm sure, again, I'm one of the few people that think of this. When she's talking, I have to restrain myself from answering right away. Because why? Because every one of us, when we listen, has the answer just sitting there on the back of our tongue going, dang, 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 dang. And sometimes, instead of giving an answer, giving a response, we just need to listen. So if that's true in human relationship, how would that not be true in divine relationship? Just like, okay, that just makes sense. Nobody's, you know, having an argument there. Everybody can catch on that, right? So let me read this, and the reason I'm going to kind of take it, just follow the direction we're going in this, okay? One of the reasons that we have to be careful about all the noise and self-noise, too, is because of how much noise there is. So again, when Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and they thought that the boat was going to tip, they thought it was going down. And keep in mind, these are fishermen. So these are professional boat takers on the sea. These are not people that don't get it. They get it, right? Their whole living was about that. And they all thought they were going to drown because it was a bad situation and a bad storm. So Jesus got up and he does two things, right? He rebukes the waves and tells them to be still, but he tells the wind to be quiet. I just want you to, do you see? He tells the wind, shh, that's enough. Ephesians, isn't that amazing? It's Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14 in Ephesians. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunningness and craftiness of people and their deceitful schemings. So Paul uses the experience that the apostles had that he wasn't a part of but knew of with Jesus and how Jesus rebuked the waves, right? Because that was tossing people back and forth in that story with Jesus. And then he got in touch with the keep the wave still and the wind quiet. Because people are blown here and there by every wind. So when we let all that noise come in, you know what happens? We get pushed around. We get blown over there and blown over. I'm not sure if you've ever been in a, Texas has some pretty windy, probably not like the tornado I went through in Michigan, but, it's got some pretty windy stuff, right? I mean, there's winds, right? When the wind is tough, you can tell. It kind of pushes against you. It kind of almost sometimes it obstructs your pathway. You got to go different. And when the winds are bad in the sky, they have to take a different route on an airplane. I mean, just think of all the things that wind does. That's what happens when we have all these winds that are coming out against us. And these winds, by the way, it's not just spiritual teaching where it talks about blown here or there by every wind of teaching. It says, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful schemings. You hear winds that are not based on teachings, but that are based on, proclamations, whatever they are, be they educational, academic, be it media, be it politics, be it government. There's winds that come all the time. And if you listen to those winds, they will toss you up and toss you down. They'll knock you over. They'll obstruct your hearing. They'll change your life. They'll change the way you see things, think about things. Things, process things, and sometimes you just got to say, enough. Which is why you'll hear us say, from time to time, not always, and again, to my daughter be the acknowledgement, a media fast. Like, what's a media fast? So you just take 3 days, don't, listen, this is so hard for people, this is as hard as food. Don't go on those websites. Don't listen to the news. Don't do anything. Just for 3 days. By golly, I think the universe will still exist. I promise you. And then there will be more news for you to come back to after that. But you tell me if you do that, if you don't feel better, or not feel better, if you don't know better the Lord. How about that? Forget the feeling part. You just know God better because you weren't distracted by all the winds. That's, wow. It's like, I need this. Hello?
It's important, Dave.
You can't do this stuff. This. We want to stand in the Lord. So you got to, we got to do this. So we got to cut this out of the diet, so to speak.
Because you turn on the news, David, it'll have your mind everywhere. Sometimes you just got to say enough is enough.
Enough, you just got to stop. It's like everybody thinks, oh, this is how it's going to be, and you have to stay informed. You have to be up to date and worldly. I thought God was in charge. I must have missed it. I'll take Daniel and just throw that out of my Bible right now. I don't need it. It's the point that I'm trying to make is we got to take a break. You got to stop. You got to separate. You got to that's enough, right? And we need to know what to listen to in priority. That's the whole section next. What's the priority to listen to? And we're going to get into that, of course. The answer to the trivia question, true or false, Solomon wrote 3 of the 5 Old Testament poetry books. True! He wrote Proverbs. He wrote Ecclesiastes. And, of course, he wrote Song of Solomon. See, or Song of Songs.
And, Dave, just to add to that point earlier, we got to be careful, too. Sometimes you can be more into that than you are into the Word.
That's exactly where this is going. So good catch, my friend. We will take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. This is from our good friend, Pastor Ray. He wrote this wonderful devotional called When Grace is Tangible. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's John chapter 1, verse 14. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. Now, I'm going to stop you right there. So I was praying. This is in the last month, and I even wrote it down in my little journal how I believe the Lord had communicated to me personally that I do not understand the depth of God's grace. So then this devotion comes, I'm like, oh, I just know the Lord's trying to teach me more. All right, let me back it up to what Ray says. There is more to grace than I ever imagined. We sing of amazing grace with the hope and longing that inspires people of all faiths and walks of life. Theologically, grace is defined as unmerited favor, a good, sound concept. But there is something more tangible about grace, something we can picture in our minds. God once told Moses, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Grace, as I discovered in the Hebrew language, is more than a favor granted in spite of our failings. When God says he will be gracious to whomever he chooses, he uses the word chanan, which adds a new layer of our understanding, because chanan means to show favor, mercy, to bend or to stoop in kindness. God is not only granting favor and mercy, but the word picture is of him bending down to us in kindness, like a father getting down on his knees to embrace his children. There's even more to this picture. The root of the word chanan means to pitch a tent, to encamp, to abide, to dwell, to rest. There is more than God granting favor. He wants to dwell with us, to camp out with us. The God who is so very beyond us, not of this world, desires for his glory to abide with us and in us. God will be gracious to whomever he chooses, and he will come and live with them and dwell with them and camp out with them, whomever he chooses. And when it makes no sense to anybody else, it doesn't matter, even if it doesn't meet our standard of approval. The Almighty Lord desires to dwell with us, not just rule over us, certainly not to start a religion, but to love us and live with us in a tangible, real way, to show us the way, the truth, and the life. The ultimate experience of God bending down, listen to this, the ultimate experience of God bending down, stooping down to the ground to dwell amongst us is the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Here's your next trivia question. What is the last book in the Old Testament? What is the last book in the Old Testament? If you think you know, you can call 972. That's a good answer by Al. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website. We do have somebody calling in, but we're going to send you up to the website and remind you that on the website is a place for prayer reports and prayer and praise reports. You can use that confidentially if you'd like to, plus also a place to give. Please check out the website at hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
So smooth.
That's exactly the word I was going to come up with. Is smooth. That was just smooth. All right, we have a caller. Somebody ready to respond to the trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm starting to swing up. I've had a tough couple of days, but starting to swing up. So I know people praying is probably... For me, I think it's the reason why. So,
well, I'll keep praying for you.
I appreciate that. So that's important as important can be, right? All right, here we go. Straightforward. What is the last book in the Old Testament?
It's Malachi.
That is correct, Amanda! It is such an excellent book. Now, I got a follow-up question, but I don't want to put you on the spot. Okay, so if you're not sure, don't worry about it, and otherwise I can get you there. But do you remember how many chapters were in Malachi?
I don't remember offhand just how many chapters. No, I don't.
Okay, it's four. There's four because in three, that's the big financial one on the tithes, and then the fourth one talks about the forthcoming of Elijah. So it's like that's the whole connection to the New Testament in the very last chapter. So I just had to ask you. It's a tough question. And also, I mean, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. So excellent job, though, with the Malachi answer. How are you feeling, by the way?
Well, I have felt better. Okay. I can always, I'm hanging in there.
All right, well, let's pray. I want to pray over you if that's okay.
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. Lift up my dear brother, Gary. I ask you to bless him physically in the name of Jesus Christ so you would touch his body. Lord, he's felt better. But you know what? We want him to feel a lot better, even completely healed better would be awesome. So we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would touch his physical body, Lord. He would know your presence in his body. He would know the refreshment and the healing power that comes from your authority and that you would pour that into him and raise him up in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank
amen,
you,
brother.
And I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, bro. God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, so we're going to do our history in the next one over because I have to do the next one over because I just have to get into this teaching. So the reason that I set this up is there's a purpose, okay? There's a plan. Yes, there's a plan. Is there an agenda, Dave? Yes, there's an agenda.
Underline agenda.
There's agenda. There's here it is. Ready? You know you need to be quiet. I need to be quiet. We all need to be quiet before the Lord, right? And we also know we need to be careful about all the other winds that are going all around us all the time because there certainly seems to be several other voices that are going around, including our own, that have difficulties from time to time. So what we really need to do is listen to what the Scripture says, and here is the exact portion I want to get to and then build off from here. This is out of Matthew 17. Chapter 17, verse 1 through 5. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was there transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before him Moses and Elijah talking to Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I'll put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. That's it. That's the ticket. That's the key. The very last portion of verse 5. Listen to him. You want to know what you're supposed to listen to? Instead of your own voice, instead of the voices of the world, instead of the false prophets that are on all the different formats of media that exist, you listen to Jesus. Now, Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. And yes, it's very cool that Peter knew who it was Moses and Elijah. Tells you a little something because that's kind of cool because a lot of people don't catch that. It's like, how did he know that was Moses and Elijah? That's amazing, right? But that's a whole other subject for another time. But look what happens. While he's speaking, and Peter is there going, well, we'll put one up for you and one for Mo and one for Elijah. And then God the Father goes, this is my son whom I love. I'm well pleased with him. Listen to him. Stop listening to everything else and everybody else. Listen to Jesus.
Oh, you can't get along with the world very good.
Too bad. Get along with Jesus. That's the whole goal. Walk with Jesus. Listen to what Jesus has to say. Not what the world has to say. I mean, what's the one thing that we talked about earlier? What did Jesus say? John 14:6, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There was a very popular TV commentator that says, well, that's not what it really meant. It's like, I'm sorry, that's exactly what it meant. He didn't partly mean that. He didn't somewhat partly mean that. And the person was dismayed that anybody would think that Jesus was the only way. Hey, Jesus said that. If you believe he's a – listen, if you believe he's a good moral teacher and he said that and it was false, then he'd be a liar. He wouldn't be a good moral teacher. So you either said it and it was true or said it and it was a lie. Pick. But you don't get to do both. You got to pick. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's what he said. This is why Jesus is who you listen to. How about some of this stuff? We don't even have to go that deep in it, but I want to make sure you get it, right? Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth, right? That's something that Jesus said. But how about this? The word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know what's amazing about the word of God? That's another title for Jesus. Hello. Comes in Revelation. What is he? Who is he? He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He's the living word. Come on. You need to listen to Jesus. And it's like all this stuff they come up with, and they make fun of it. I know they do. But just like we talked about in the Psalms, there's coming a day where there's no reason to envy the people that are evil and doing wrong. They're going to be cut down like mowed grass. That ain't going to matter. But we listen to him. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hello? That's Jesus. Okay, got it. Who am I listening to? Jesus. Well, I know, but they have a really good news report. Jesus. I know, but they used to be a really good conservative news outlet. Jesus. I know, but it used to be a great website for conservative people or for Christian people to go to. Jesus. You want to see how many times I can do that? Jesus has a blog. It's called Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Read it. Read the blog. There you go. Right?
You want substitutes, Dave.
I think that's a group. Jesus has a blog. Come on, man. It's like he's got a website. It starts off in the beginning, Genesis 1, and finishes at the very end with Revelation 22:21. Amen. Okay, that's it.
But that blog causes us to change, Dave.
That blog is the truth. And see, what everything else is distorted man's version of. Right? How many people have sinned in their lives from everybody from the beginning to the end? Everybody except for one. Well, then that one would know. Who is that? Jesus. So the reason that you hear me hammering this is because you keep – I'm not saying which eschatological process is right or wrong. I'm not going down that. What I'm telling you to do is listen to Jesus. And if the word Jesus offends you, you're not a Christian. Let's just get that straight. You can't be a Christian without Christ. You can't even say the word Christian without saying Christ. So, I mean, that's just silly, right? So the point that I'm trying to make, the issue that I'm trying to fight for, the defense that I'm trying to declare is, look, the first and foremost place is you listen to Jesus. Jesus defines himself through the living word as the word. So where do you get the answer? You know why I get passionate about the word? Because that's where you can meet Jesus. That's where your faith grows. That's where you get to know him. You get to understand him. You get to engage with him. That's the first and foremost. There's one other place we're going to talk about. You think, wait, they can't do it. No. There's one other place we're going to talk about when we come back. And you'll see what we'll go with from there, okay? We'll take our break and come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the Internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with CalPunch sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad, that's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? CalPunch sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's CalPunch sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. CalPunchSites.com/dad.
The deterioration of the ecosystem, or creation itself, is definitely the result of man. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 19 through 21. I just read the scriptures. I don't need anything else. The Bible says this: the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. Creation itself is longing for the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ. And until that takes place, it is on a collision course down. The result of the ecosystem or creation itself crashing is a result of man's sin in the garden. So when they say, oh, well, it's not man-made, oh, yes, it is. Of course it's man-made. It's because we messed up in the garden. But I wasn't with Adam and Eve. You were in the person of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to use it, you were in the life-giving force of Adam and Eve. And if you want me to really say it, you were in the loins of Adam and Eve. You were there, too. They stuck their fist up to God and said, nope. And God went, okie dokie, here's the result.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your final trivia question: which sermon of Jesus was the longest? Which sermon of Jesus, not which prayer, which sermon of Jesus was the longest? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us. You can call 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Those are the ways to go about that. We do have somebody calling in. So, yes, they do want to answer their trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi there. It's Steve.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
Good. How's it going with you?
It's going great. It is really going great.
Good.
I hope you're enjoying the day. I hope you're having a good day.
I hope I know the answer.
That's a good one. I love it. Great job. All right, here we go. Let's give it to you. What do you think's the longest sermon that Jesus did?
I think it's a beatitude. Is it the beatitude?
Yeah, but what is that in? What's the bigger encapsulation of that? So those are in which sermon? The sermon on the...
Sermon on the Mount?
That is correct, Amundo!
I don't know.
There it is. You were right. You were in the right spot. You had it right. I was just pulling you back out so that you could see that. And I love the Beatitudes.
I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. You had it. You knew where it was. You had it going on all around. That's it. That's the longest sermon. It always makes me wonder, if it takes 30 minutes to read that, why are sermons longer than 30 minutes at church? Anyway, it's just one of those things I struggle with. It's like, it didn't take Jesus more than 30 minutes. Okay.
Well, I appreciate that for the help a little bit.
Great job, man. Excellent work.
What's that again? I'm sorry?
You did a great job. That was excellent work.
Awesome. Thank you, and glory to our Lord.
Amen. Amen, brother. Amen.
Thanks again.
Okay, God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Excellent job. Very, very good. Very, very good. See, Sermon on the Mount. Then Beatitudes. That's fun because I love that one thing that that one guy taught about. Beatitudes are great because they're the Beatitude you should have. These are the Beatitudes. These are the ones to be. Be these attitudes. That's great. I love that. Yep. Joanne, I think you're right on that note that you just sent me. Okay, so here's this thing. We got to do history. We'll do it real fast, and then I got to finish up because I don't want to miss this important part of it. So let's do history real quick.
Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past.
All right, so today is Monkey Around Day. I have no idea what that means.
Is that like playing around?
I think so. Okay, I don't know. Cool. I mean, I guess so. National Strawberry Shortcake Day.
Yum.
There's no problem with that one. International Bath Day.
Meaning?
Yeah, take a bath, I guess. Noelle says to me all the time, I'm going to take a bath. And you know every line, every time she does it for ever and ever. You know what I say?
What's that, Dave?
Where are you taking it? How do you not say that? I'm taking a bath. Where are you taking it? Where are you taking it? You know?
Be nice.
I know. 1775 on this day, United States Army is first established. 1777, the Stars and Stripes is adapted as the flag of the United States. And then 1954 on this day, Under God was added to the Pledge of Allegiance under United States President Dwight E. Eisenhower, who signed it into law, the congressional bill adding the words Under God to the Pledge of Allegiance. There you go. That's the history. Okay, cool. All right, great job, by the way, on everybody. Let's get into this now because I want to make sure you get this. So we need to hear Jesus. Everybody get that point? No way you can miss what I was saying, right? So stop just listening to yourself. Stop giving God the list. Stop listening to the external noises of the winds and the waves, or especially the winds, which make noise all the time, and there's tons of noise, and you don't need that. You need to listen to Jesus as defined by God the Father on the Mount of Transfigurations. Million-dollar question, where do you hear Jesus? Well, obviously you hear Jesus through the Word. There's no way to separate. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is Jesus. So when you get into the book, I know people are like, well, it's the book. It's just a book. I know, but it's just the God who created the universe by speaking who wrote the book. Oh, no, man wrote the book. Really, God created the universe. He can't write a book? Come on, people. That's ridiculous. So we know the book's there. We know that God speaks through that the book. We know he speaks to us in his message. We understand that, like we said just prior, that we talked about the passage in Hebrews. The Word of God is alive. The Word of God is alive and active. That's why when you read it, it goes... sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrates the dividing soul of spirit, joints, and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Great way to understand and to listen for Jesus is to read the Word. I mean, that's just, you can't, it's inescapable. You cannot escape this. When people don't get it, it's like, they don't get it because they're not his. That's why they don't get it. And so you read that, and you go, wow. But there's something else, so I want to make sure you get this. Million-dollar question is, how do we hear Jesus? Through the truth. And, ready, through the Spirit. Oh, that's, wait a minute, what are you talking about? I'll just use what Jesus said, and then we'll go from there. Jesus said in John 16, 12 through 14, I have much to say to you, more than you can now bear.
Uh-oh.
But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. Uh-oh. Now you understand why we're supposed to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now it's just like, wait a second. Hold on. And I'm going to read that again because it's so powerful. You just like people want to try and pull this out and do that. Just listen to what Jesus said. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Ooh, that's scary, right? But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. So, that tells us that the written word, the truth, sanctify them in thy truth, thy word is truth, John 17:17. Let me say that again in case you missed that. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we understand that the word of God is how you hear Jesus. I got it. That makes sense. And also, as the Holy Spirit testifies, is how you hear Jesus, because the Holy Spirit testifies to who? To Jesus. And so if you're supposed to listen for Jesus, now it adds this dimension. So now you got to go, I got to listen. Yeah, go back to the very beginning of what we said. You got to listen. See, because the difference is listening is critical. We need to make sense of the sound decimals, but in order to hear those sound decimals, we got to be quiet and put out every other thing and listen to what Jesus has to say. And his word is the plumb line, and he speaks to us through his spirit. And in case you're wondering, you know, how does that all work? Well, you've got to read the word. We know that from Revelation 1:3. It even says when you read this book, you're blessed. But it also says in Revelation 2:7, 11, and 17 to listen to the voice of the spirit. We are told in the word to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. Can't do any of that stuff if we're doing all the talking or you're listening to other stuff. Can't be done. On the other hand, God is so willing to speak to us that the book he gave us is called the Word. See, that's how willing he is to speak to us. He is awesome. Is he not? He is fantastic. All right, we will take our break. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.